Okay, so the next talk is from guys from Paddler. They actually have done a talk last year as well, so apparently this year would be about what happened during this last year. So welcome, so Matias and his hit team.
Hello. Nice. We are extremely happy to be here. My name is Mateusz, this is Gosia and Miguel, and we are co-authors of Paddler, which is a tool for self-hosting LLMs. We are all into Llama CPP ecosystem. We have introduced Paddler last year here on FOSDEM, and now we wanted to talk about what worked for us, what didn't work, what works well with hosting models or not. Because I think we have this kind of unique perspective because we are working both on the infrastructure, but we are also creating products for like casual end users. And generally, we can see two paths that open source LLMs can take. And one of them is doing hobby projects or exploring some niche topics that are only relevant to us, which is fine, of course, but we also noticed that LLMs and open source LLMs have this potential of being this experimental frontier for research, for products. I wanted to focus on this more. So with Paddler, we wanted to create a tool that can show that Llama CPP can be used successfully in production at a scale that it can, we can use to the fullest its potential, the fact that it can run anywhere. Because we also initially saw a third path, which was privacy, but unfortunately, most businesses just don't care about it too much. I'm not judging it, but this is a fact. I mean, most businesses we approached would rather use some big vendor like OpenAI or Claude or whatever than self-host, which, again, it is what it is. But still, I do think open source LLMs have this great potential as this experimental research frontier. So in this context, where does Paddler fit in?
So Paddler is our open source software that allows to self-host large language models. And we have been developing it with the thought of having something which is very easy to handle, that follows the best LLMs practices, and that you can deploy that anywhere as well. So there are several environments that you can put Paddler in. You can use that on your premises, on your server racks, or even on the cloud if you really want to. And if you get really clever with the idea of Paddler, you can even use that to create some company-wide second brain. So everyone in the same office would be able to connect to the same Paddler balancing instance and share the resources. So this venue here, for example, everyone would be able to connect and share the same computational powers by using Paddler. And that's very interesting. And talking about cloud, we are actually using Paddler on the cloud. And there are some features that we have created to make such deployments easier. Like you can use your metrics from the Paddler status D to in the case of AWS, for example, set some CloudWatch rules to bring more or less GPU instances in if you need. And the cloud were actually one of our priorities because even on the cloud, you can have some benefits over using your own infrastructure. And with Paddler, you can even set some multi-cloud setups where you keep your Paddler balancer on AWS, but keeping your agents on OVH, for example, or any other kind of cloud. So that's pretty nice.
So initially, Paddler started as just a Llama CPP load balancer. But since then, we evolved a lot, changed a lot. We still keep Llama CPP, but just as an inference engine inside Paddler. So now it is baked in. There were several reasons for it. One of them is we needed semantic versioning to do like predictable deployments. Llama CPP has a rolling release, which is fine, it has its merits, but we but we needed to have this ability to limit, to have backwards compatibility, or to like have predictable deployments or predictable versioning. So that was important to us. Second, we have this liberty of adding more custom features. Initially, we relied mostly on Llama Server HTTP endpoints to monitor its status, its internals. But now we are using C++ bindings directly. It's baked in, so Parler is also easier to deploy thanks to that, because it is contained in just a single binary that you can put in a server on a laptop, so it's really simple to handle. You can argue that, okay, we decoupled from like Llama CPP server and stuff, but now we rely on C++ bindings. But still, it is much easier to maintain Parler that way. We can, for example, pick some specific snapshot of Llama CPP, test it, make sure it works correctly, release it with semantic versioning, and so on. There was also another reason, because at one point Llama Server deemed slots feature as something you shouldn't really use in production. But we were using it a lot in production, so we pretty much had no choice at that point. We just rewrote it, and slots, I mean, the feature that allows you to divide context, memory context, into separate slots to handle requests, inference requests in parallel, is something really crucial to us. I think we must have done something right, because we got some positive feedback from you, from the community, and I'm especially grateful for that. I'm especially grateful that you trusted us. I know it is not easy to put your production service on some open source project from some guys, random people. So, I mean, thank you for that. And we treat this seriously, because we really want to make sure there are no memory leaks, it is stable, it can run anywhere. So thank you again. And this is kind of a tour of our UI and some of our capabilities. We have this web admin panel. We try to make it really accurate, so it represents directly how the system works. So it always shows you in real time how many slots are occupied, what are the inference addresses, and so on. And we use it in various ways. We use it in production. We use it locally, so for example, sometimes when we work together, we connect to the same Wi-Fi. For example, Gosia has a Mac with unified memory, she can load bigger models. We can assign like 8 slots to her Mac, like 2 slots to mine PC. So we use it like that locally. Nice thing about it is when you deploy something, you need some staging environment, some production environment, so Llama CPP can run on anything. So you can assign some agents to like cheaper CPU instances and staging when you don't need to handle as many users, for example, and you can assign it to GPU instances in production. We also have features for scaling, like buffered requests. We expose some data for statsd, so you can automate the process. And this is the panel for loading models with parameters. So we support both hugging face and local files. So we can either provide a link to GGF model on Hugging Face, we use Hugging Face API, or you can just deploy the model on the server and set the parameters. Some of those parameters are local to Llama CPP, some of them are local to Parler, but we wanted to collect them in this single place, so we can just change all of them with a single API request. And what I think is interesting, we try to follow Hugging Face conventions, because often model authors put parameters in readmes in some specific way, and they put some specific parameters recommended for their models. So if you deploy something, you can pretty much copy paste them. We also have a feature where you can provide your own chat template, because they are often baked in into GGF models as a metadata. But I don't know, let's say, Jinja templatic engine doesn't support some obscure feature that the template in the model uses. You at least have a chance to do some workaround or anything, so you don't have your hands tied, because you know situations happen, and we really want to feel comfortable deploying this to production. And you can preview, of course, how the model works. So this specific model has a thinking face, so we also tried it to look nice, by the way, so we really wanted to make it look like the thinking face is this note on the margin of a book, let's say. So I hope you like it. We also keep everything documented, so, and we keep the documentation always up to date. We also documented the internals, so if you want to dig deeper into that, you can. And we have some plans for the future. So Llama server implemented multimodal capabilities. And since we rewrote most of it, we need to port it to Parler, so this is our top priority. We also need some more compatibility endpoints. We have OpenAI compatibility endpoints, but we are open to adding Gemini or Claude or whatever. This is also a good first issue if you want to contribute something, because I think it is quite easy. You only need to map Rust, our internal data structures, into like those third-party data structures. And we also want to experiment with browser agents, because I think it would be interesting, for example, to have some of the agents from a cluster be spawned in a browser, some of them be part of the server side. So we are really flexible with this.
Okay. So now I want to talk a little bit about what kind of projects become possible when we have this stable self-hosting foundation like Paddler. And first of all, this begs the question, when does self-hosting make sense? First reason is, of course, costs. Of course, when we use huge models that are comparable to what we typically get from closed source providers, we have this significant cost in the form of the infrastructure, that's the upfront cost. So we normally need to generate a little bit of scale in our product to start noticing the lower costs. However, the cost efficiency gets much more immediate when we start to use some specialized smaller models. And also, with self-hosted approach, we get far better costs, predictability, sometimes even also fixed costs, regardless of the scale. Then there's data privacy, and this is, as we mentioned, maybe not something that is entirely recognized by the majority of the businesses. On the other hand, there are certain use cases, certain whole industries, even like the medical field, where the data privacy matters a lot. Then there's the question of the performance control over the latency. Here the reason is clear. You own your infrastructure, so you have full control over it. And finally, there's the better user experience. So this is something that we get from being able to use smaller, specialized, fine-tuned models. But this is also something that we get thanks to the fact that we are not dependent on some silent updates in vendor models. So I think that the reasons for self-hosting are strong, but I want to make them very, very concrete and talk about a few projects that we are building on top of Paddler and that we hope represent this experimental frontier of using LLMs. And my hope here is that this is going to give you some kind of inspiration for your own projects, and that this is also going to give you some solid arguments for when you need to get the buy-in from the business or from the product, and when you need to convince someone for the self-hosted approach. And the first project is Poet. This is another open source project that we're working on. And this is a static site generator with a built-in MCP server. And we are now combining, like, working on adding some LLM-based features. So Poet is designed to give full control over the abstract syntax tree of both Markdown and HTML. And what we can do is that it exposes LLM-friendly API, and we can do things like text analysis or cross-referencing between documents. And Paddler can very easily plug into such an environment and be used to, for example, analyze text. So, for instance, we can check that the metadata matches the content, or we can identify a single source of truth across our documentation. So why Poet may need self-hosted models? One is that different content requires different understanding. So if you have a blog about Rust programming language, this is going to give you a different vocabulary than, let's say, a legal website. And with self-hosted models, users can fine-tune some small specialized models and get far better consistency checks. Another thing is that with content, not all commercial models work well with content. Some kind of content, like, for instance, imagine that you are building a website with some mature themes or legal content that describe crimes. Some commercial models are going to just refuse or hedge, and a specialized self-hosted fine-tuned uncensored model is just going to do the task. Another project, this is something we're working on at our startup. For context, we are building a no-code tool that is going to allow our users to build systems by describing some general business terms, business domains, instead of having to like explicitly define every database schema, relation, or workflow. And for that, we need to come up with some way of a different way of representing systems and applications. And specifically, we need a different way for storing data. And we came up with the idea of using RDF, so the resource description framework. And because we also want our users to build using natural language, we need something that is going to take the user input and translate it into Sparkle queries. And Sparkle is the query language for RDF. And we came across the project called FireSparkle, and this is a research project, and its goal is to take the user input and translate it into Sparkle queries. So this is exactly what we need. And for the researchers, it was enough to use a 70 billion parameter model to prepare the data, and then just 8 billion parameter model, fine-tuned model, to process the user input and translate to Sparkle. Also, with self-hosting and specifically with Llama CBP, we can use features like grammars, and this is something that is going to further constrain the model output and get what we need. So could we achieve that with commercial models? Theoretically, yes, but the self-hosted approach is far better, because let's consider what this approach means from like the product, business, operational perspective. With self-hosted fine-tuned models and features like grammars, we get far better model output, so this means far better user experience in our product. We also get better stability. Like if we used commercial API, we could risk some changes, some updates in the vendor model that would change the translation quality, and we would risk random regressions. With self-hosted models, it's much cheaper and much more convenient to self-host this small model like the 8 billion parameter one. Data privacy is also fully within our control. So we can see that we can build a complex but coherent system that is going to serve multiple users concurrently. And all we need for that are models from Hugging Face, Paddler, and a little bit of patience.
So, of course, those were just two examples of what you can do once you have total control of your inference infrastructure. But we really hope that when you leave this room, you will keep this thinking that the experimental frontier is much more accessible than you think, and that you can, for example, use some fine-tuned 8 billion model to power a real product. So if you need something which the commercial API is missing, that can be some more specialized model, some constraints, or even if you want the overall predictable behavior over the time, you can see that the open source is not just an option, but it's actually the best choice that you can do. And if you want to reach out to us to talk about the project, about Paddler and Poet, our open source, and LMOps, feel free to do that. We will appreciate a lot. And we are also giving away some pins, so if you reach out, you can get one as well. So that was it. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Any questions? We have 1 minute for questions. No? OK, one question.
Yeah.